Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-centered style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay, thank you, Gloria. Hey, this is Robin Masevich. I'm one of the diners that is a regular member here at the Transformation Cafe. And we want to go ahead and encourage you to go to blogtalkradio.com and /Transformation Cafe if you want to go get into our chat room. Our beautiful Miss Kathy is assisting tonight, and she can totally check into your any kind of blog messages you'd like to be adding on to the conversation. Or if you're online and already listening to us, and that number again is 646-727-3206, and call on in, and we'll just go ahead and sit at the table. Kathy and I were talking before we got started tonight, and we just thought sometimes you just have to have dessert first. So we're at a Swenson's tonight, so we're going to be just doing all kinds of ice cream and, God, I don't know. We're just going to be checking out the menu and seeing how that's going on. So we got a whole bunch of diners here tonight, and we're just excited to see everybody here. So I see, hey, Miss Marvine, how are you tonight? Would you introduce yourself, please? Miss Marvine, are you there? Okay. How about Miss Gloria? Miss Gloria, how are you doing?
I am doing just great. What about you tonight? You have a great weekend?
I had a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to some dessert. It's all good. I mean, you know, just a reminder of you, our listeners, that, you know, we've all come down to Texas. We're at the Swensons. We're on vacation. We kind of extended our vacation with the whole Labor Day thing. So we're all kind of like, you know, hanging out and just enjoying one another, just kind of extending this vacation a little bit. So I just want to say hi to everybody. So, hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you doing?
Well, how do you, neighbor? I'm doing okay, I guess.
A little better than Kirsten,
but, you know.
Well, I reckon I'd be liking your 10-gallon hat there, mister. I think you got a very nice hat going on there. You can't really come to Texas and not have your hat happening, so that's very good of you. I think that's pretty good. Also, checking out that he's got some spurs happening. Look out, Mr. Jamie got spurs on, so that's all good.
And that's about it.
And that's about it. Yeah, there you go. So it's all good. And we have another caller here with the 562-326. Hey, how you doing? Who is that? We got somebody else calling
I'm doing pretty good.
Huh? Great. What's your name?
I had you on mute. My name is Steve.
You had me on mute. Hi, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
Excellent.
Good. Did you have a great weekend?
Yeah, very nice. Very relaxing.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for scooting up to the table. We appreciate you hanging on. And
you're all having your just desserts.
We are, and we totally deserve those desserts, so it's a good thing. So there you go. Okay, Miss Kathy, will you please introduce yourself, and then we can talk about dessert here. She's got the menu right there in front of her, so a little intro, and then here we go. Okay.
My name is Kathy Elliott, and I live in Long Beach, Lakewood, California, but I'm having a great time on my journey to Texas. I mean, I can't wait until we find all the rest of the Swenson restaurants all over the world. And what I do for a living, I am a practical inventor.
Ooh, okay. That's very cool. Okay, so what's on the menu tonight at Swenson's here? We're starting out in Texas. I don't know if you guys realize it, but there's Swenson's pretty much all over the place. How many places are there, Kath? We asked the waiter. I think he had a big old list for us.
Yeah, let's look on the back of the menu.
Okay.
Flip it over. Let me flip it over and see. Let's see. It looks like it's worldwide. There's three in China. Shanghai. You want to go to Shanghai next week?
Oh, yeah. We're going to
Columbia.
Shanghai, man. As long as there's ice cream involved, I'll go. It's good.
Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
There's five Brunei, Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, and Thailand. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'll take the Thailand after 2 weeks from now. I want to do that.
Yeah, we're just going to have a whirlwind tour of
Thailand.
Yeah, so let's see if their ice cream or their menu changes a little bit. You would think they would a little bit. Well, we'll have to be checking that out. So, okay,
yeah.
But we're in Texas tonight. Yeehaw, we're in Texas. Jamie's still got his spurs on. That's cool. So,
does anybody remember O'Farrell's, like, ice cream?
Yeah, I remember O'Farrell's.
They used to have the, what was it, like a trough, and then they said, here's a pig, and they have birthday, they would come out and with the whole crew would come out with this giant thing and make a big to-do, I think.
It was called the zoo, and they put it on a gurney, and they would take two of their servers.
A gurney, right.
And they'd run all over the parlor with it, all the lights would flash and everything, and they were like, whoa,
it was
on. Oh, man.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
And we used to love going there.
Oh, my gosh. It was like, it wasn't a birthday unless you went there to get your ice cream, huh?
Right.
There you go. Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think an ice cream, you got a little one free because you were at Farrell's. There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah, on your birthday.
I know. On your birthday.
Also, there's Cold Stone Creamery where they kind of blend it and add stuff. And that was kind of popular, too. Not back then.
Oh, my gosh. There's just so many new ways that they've got all these things out there to tempt us. I'll tell you. It's like, wow. Okay. So what's our menu choices tonight for digging in with the desserts?
Okay, we can do the fruity thing. Strawberries, bananas, and cream.
Mm-hmm.
Vanilla ice cream with the banana with strawberry jam, whipped cream, cherry, and wafer.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can do the Gold Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate and coffee ice cream with butterscotch, chocolate fudge, mixed almonds, whipped cream, cherry, and a wafer.
Ooh, I vote for that one. Let's do a Gold Rush. That sounds good. We'll see how big it is. I'm thinking we're going to need one more just to kind of get us quite a few of us here.
I might have to skip this because I'm
You're lactose intolerant?
Well, no, I'm diabetic, right?
Okay, what do we got for the diabetic?
But I will pretend.
Oh, we got a pill. We've got a shot for you.
You know, I see all the Halloween candy at the drugstore, and my blood sugar rises when I walk through the aisle. It's amazing.
You know, they've actually done studies with that where they've studied people's metabolisms even when they just look at food. And your blood cells are affected. Is that just like sad
just
or what?
Like, you know, rows and rows of candy.
Oh, my gosh. And your body just goes, I've been there and done that. It just goes,
like,
ooh.
Yeah. Let me loose on them little snack bars or anything.
Did you guys know that there's still a Farrell's in Mission Viejo?
We were in Texas, man. We didn't know we could have stayed in California. Okay, Mission Viejo has one. There we go. Okay.
Hey, isn't that a central point between Gloria, Robin, Kathy,
yes.
and Jamie?
Yes, it is.
That's way central.
It's way central for Jamie considering he's in Seattle. So there you go. But we've got Steve Longby. So Steve, that's like a central located for you too. So it's good. We'll just slide everybody down that way.
There's another one in Santa Clarita and Hawaii.
Where is it in Hawaii?
There's two places. One in Aiea and one in Kaneohe.
It's on Kamahama.
Well, they both just say Hawaii. One is Aiea, Hawaii.
Oahu, yeah.
And one is K A N E O H E Hawaii. Kaneohe.
I found something for you.
So we're going to all have to, like, you have to get the Aloha ice cream. There you go. That's pretty amazing stuff, too. So they have a place in Maui that you can go to. It's actually their botanical gardens there that celebrate all the different horticultural things that they grow on all the different islands, and they have, like, it's a cultural center that you can go to in off of Maui right there. And they have a little general store there. They make their own ice cream on the premises.
Yummo.
Oh, my goodness. And it's fresh, and it's the fresh macadamia nuts, it's fresh coconut, it's all this stuff. It's just so fresh. Oh, my God.
Come on now.
Sorry. Wait. I have to wipe off my mouth. Okay.
All right.
It's so good. Okay. Anyway. We digress. We're still talking about desserts tonight. So there we go. Right. Wow. Who knew?
I found one for us.
Okay.
I found the menu while you were talking. And
okay.
This one suits us all, I think. It's a fondue, chocolate fondue.
Ooh.
And it
has
9 mini scoops of ice cream served with warm chocolate sauce and a set of fruits.
Well, there you go. Jamie can have the fruit, and we'll just keep them away from all the rest of the stuff, right? How's that, Jamie? You get some fruit that way.
That sounds good.
Okay. Maybe just a little dab. We'll give them a little dab of fudge just because we can. You know, how that goes. Okay,
cool. No, we'll honor his wishes.
Because
we'll empower him.
Yes, I can have a little bit. Let's say a little bit. How's that?
We'll just say he had just a little bit, like half a, we'll just say, a little bit of fudge. It's all good. So.
I can fudge on that a little bit.
Pretty good.
I'll fudge on that little bit.
Sounds good.
Stevie, you there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to ask you something, though. I thought this program was listed under the spirituality.
Oh, it is, but, sometimes ice cream is very spiritual. Actually, we have to set the mood. You know how that goes. And, ice cream, food is so much of a communion. It's so much of a spiritual thing that it's a gift from the planet and all that. Oh, yeah. It's just a part of appreciation, and appreciation is one of the most powerful energies we have on the planet, so it's all about that too.
Besides
friends and camaraderie and food, that's just one of the best things, is just helping to celebrate life, and that's really why we're here on a spiritual level.
So you really are at a diner?
Yeah, we're really at a diner. Of course we are.
Okay. I thought it was make believe, all pretend. Okay.
That's just part of the fun of being at the cafe. So there you go. Kathy and I were having a couple interesting conversations that I wanted to kind of put out for everybody to talk about tonight, see if you guys are interested in it. Stephen Hawking and Len Moidenow, I apologize if I've said his name wrong, Moidenow, physics. Yeah, it's not, but there you go. That's what happens when you've got hot fudge right here. Okay, anyway. And their new book is called The Grand Design. And have any of you guys heard about this book?
Yeah, I heard about what he said about the beginning of the universe.
What did you think, Steve? Can you give a little bit of a kind of just a synopsis real quick, so people who are listening want to maybe get in on the conversation, and then give us your opinion. What do you think?
That he thought that it was created not as an accident or something, or? Okay. I don't know. That's just his opinion.
Well, that's true, part of the whole thing too. From I was actually went online because Kathy was telling me about it this morning, and I was very interested in it. That a part of what he's calling the M theory, which is an expanded version of all the different things with quantum physics, is that there's these layers of all the different theories and philosophies that are out there, just really covering all the different experiences that one can have within the universe. And basically what they're saying with the grand design is that, we've always been evolving, we've always been creating, so there really was no such thing as a Big Bang theory, that we had a Big Bang and then we came into existence. That's that we've always been here. It's just kind of mind-boggling, It's kind of like having ice cream that just never goes away. That's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Your dish always has ice cream in it. I think that's awesome. So there you go.
For the chocolate fondue.
It's bubble from mine when you think about it.
You broke up, Steve. I couldn't hear that. Is anybody else
trying to figure that out?
Couldn't hear.
Oh, okay. 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 What do you guys think of that? I thought it was just a pretty interesting perspective. Gloria, what do you think about all that? I know you're a real follower of quantum physics.
What happened to Gloria?
Well, sometimes she's she lives really close over to... Oh, there she is. Hey, girl.
There she goes.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yay!
So what do you think of this new theory? Are you familiar with it?
I am not familiar with it.
Okay. Were you hearing our conversation?
Well,
I know you were really welling up with the hot fudge, so.
What was that?
I said I know you were really, really getting into the hot fudge there for a second, so.
Yeah, I was momentarily laughing and doing the Homer Simpson thing where you just go, oh.
I know. So there you go. That's part of being in the void. You just get, okay, there you go. Okay.
So what was it again? The theory of what?
Well, his theory basically says that there wasn't a big bang. We've always been constantly evolving and creating the universes.
I believe that there's always a little bit of everything. You know, there's always, to find balance, you always have to have a combination of things. So to say that it's one or the other, I personally believe that it's integrated. And so the Big Bang Theory, as it stands on its own, is a separatist type of a way of view or a vantage because it was limited to the amount of knowledge that they had at the time. And so then as we evolve and we begin to see more things, you know, it's like when we become educated and different things that we didn't know that we didn't know. And then we look back and go, how could we not know? Well, it's based upon where we're at that moment in time. So looking at the Big Bang Theory, I think that it's still valid, yet it was probably one component of many. And so the theory that they have now about it being constantly created is all well and good, yet as they evolve in their knowledge, I believe that they will find that it always existed.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying that the world was flat and now we just know better. You know,
right.
The perspective has changed and all that. And actually, I did go and look at the first chapter. And again, this book's called The Grand Design for anybody who's coming in late. We're talking about Stephen Hawking's new book called The Grand Design about the creation and, you know, why we're here. And they go into that about talking about going through the level of we only were, you know, if I see it, I'll believe it kind of that thing. And we realize now through science and just the level of evolving and recognizing that there's more non-stuff than stuff, and they actually go into the dark energy, which isn't necessarily bad energy. It's not like, you know, with Star Wars, you know, with the dark side. It's basically just in the duality of things, with having light and darkness, we have to have that level of duality for things to continually be evolving and creating one another. And again, it goes back to that map theory where he talks about a lot of different theories and principles that are overlapping one another. They do a neat job of talking about how it's like looking at the whole world, and you'd have to overlap maps on top of each other for you to get a sense of what the world really looks like, because it's not flat. It's, you know, we've got a sphere that isn't necessarily even round. It's actually more oval, and it actually fluctuates. I was reading something the other day that said that, where we really don't sense it because we're on the planet, we're constantly moving and changing, and we're not really overly sensitive to the fact that we're fluctuating, but the world actually kind of gets squeezed down and on the poles and then comes back out again every day. So there's actually this, you know, besides going around, we go up and down, too. Yeah, so it's very, very interesting. It's really, really interesting.
Getting that sense of the flow is a wave. It's all waves.
Yeah, just the whole sense of vibrations and having all that stuff change.
Yeah.
It's very, very cool. Well,
yeah, and when you start looking at the dynamics of mathematics and how mathematics is music and music is mathematics, you know, the flow and the vibration, just when you think about what they talked, when they spoke about in the Bible, when they said, you know, and God spoke the word, and the word, you know, was good. Well, the word is sound, the word is energy, the word is, when you have the human breath and you're expounding and expelling, you're emitting that vibration into the world, and you're creating just through the sense of your own speaking. And the I don't want to say value, but the, you know, when you have reverence for something, the spiritual importance of speaking, you know, most people consider it to be one of the senses, or one of, not senses, but the abilities of the human body to be able to speak, yet people do not recognize the importance and power of the words that they speak, you know, whether it be going out or coming in, because if you exhale, you also inhale the words.
Yeah, they were even talking about that when it comes to, there's supposed to be, and with the evolving, coming up to the next dimension, coming into the fifth dimension, they were talking about, I had read somewhere the other day, was talking about the one sound. There's like a new sound that's coming to the planet that we're all going to, you know, have a sensitivity to. Do you remember about that, Kat?
Planet.
Hmm.
Yeah, the planet soul sound.
The soul
sound.
The sound.
It's just now that they're getting so, they're now starting to become more sensitive to new sounds because they've gotten beyond the old sounds. And it's just another exploration. Again, with the use of the word new sound, it's just a new awareness.
I like soul sound.
I had to say that.
Soul sound. Mm-hmm.
Were you like a bass, Jamie, when you were singing?
No.
Did you sing? You didn't?
No,
you have the greatest voice for something like that. I could totally see him doing that, can't you?
Well, I can't carry a tune,
you'd be
but,
like
I
the backup.
But I can imitate a lot of things, so whatever. Hmm.
Yeah, you know, what, 2 weeks ago it was a dolphin. Last week we did chickens.
All
right. So, there you go. we'll see what the evening calls for tonight. Okay, that's all good. Okay. Yeah, we actually, that's when
I was going to change my the subject, though.
You're going to say what?
I was going to change the subject.
You're going to change the subject? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so I was going to tell him about Master Shaw for a second.
Oh, okay. Talk about Master Shaw first, then I'll tell you.
Okay. Okay. So when Kathy and I had gone to, we actually met each other at a spiritual expo, which was in Kauai, and the headliner they had there for the weekend was Master Shaw. And if you actually can go to mastershaw.com, and he's got these wonderful songs that he does, and he works with Chinese energy. So if anybody's interested in that, it's actually really beautiful music, really, and it's a lot about the toning. And getting into song and getting into the vibrational energies and things like that. And a lot of it comes from Tai Chi and things like that. So it's very interesting when you look at the different levels of energy and stuff like that. He's going to be coming to L.A. on, what day is that, 19th?
Yeah.
Is that right, Kathy? On the 19th. Yeah, he'll be in L.A. on the 19th. So if anybody wants questions, you know, any kind of info on that, go to thetransformation-cafe.com, and we'll hopefully get some information out there on that. But you can just search for Master Shaw, and you'll easily find some stuff with him on the web. And he does offer a lot of free downloads. So anybody wants to get any kind of free introductory to him, there's quite a bit out there that you can have for free downloads and stuff. He's very generous with his downloads, so he can give you a little taste of some of the work he does and stuff like that. And when you're listening to him talk and stuff, I really enjoy him because he's very funny. He's a funny guy. So there you go. Okay, changing subject. Go ahead, Kath.
Remember we were talking about the blue whale and dolphin trips that you can take on the water?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I got an email about it today.
Woohoo! Okay, let's get an update. Well, that sounds exciting.
Actually, it's September 19th.
Oh, okay.
Which is the same date that you were talking about just now.
With Master Shaw, yeah.
Yeah.
is it in L.A.?
No, it is in Dana Point.
Oh.
Dana Point, California. And
a lovely Dana Point. Dana Point is an awesome place.
I think it's Dana Point.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are free. It's $95 for an adult, $65 for a kid, and babies are free. And You must pre-register in advance to attend, and you can contact. Mm-hmm. You can get more information at puddysplace@yahoo.com. That's P-U-D-D-Y-S, place, like putty tat, puddysplace@yahoo.com. I think that is a putty tat. They will also, or you could, where did you say, go to Blog Talk Radio, I mean to Transformation-Cafe?
Mm-hmm. We'll go ahead and post that. So we'll have that also and just for people who are checking in at the table and aren't familiar with that, we had a conversation, I think it was either last week or the week before that, Kathy had listened to a radio program of a lady that she takes these, she has a catamaran, and she takes it out into past the shoreline and to these areas where there's all kinds of whales and dolphins. They have like a whale and dolphin encounter, and it's not uncommon to have like a couple hundred dolphins around you. And you actually, the last time she took it out, they actually had some blueback whales that were right there with the catamaran. They were so close, they said that the whales, it felt like the whales wanted them to be touched. They wanted to be the humans to be touching them. So it's just really, really interesting. They were being very gentle and very mindful about the fact that they had the boat right there. And they do they really go out of their way to make it just a very special and sacred situation. So people, know that, it's a very sacred time to be connecting to, these wonderful, animals. With the dolphins and whales. And some there's some spiritual teachings that say that the dolphins and whales have actually been carrying the heritage and the history of the planet all this time while we got our act together. So they're through their sounds, and the interesting thing Gloria's been talking about, we've been talking about sounds all night, their sounds and the way that they do their clicks and all the different sounds they have a special meaning and language. So it's very interesting, very cool. Yeah, it sounds like something it's kind of one of those things you just don't want to, it's one of those things you want to have as a part of your life experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're going out again on Monday the 27th.
Monday the 27th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of animals and awareness, did I talk to you about the Pooter the cat that I just met?
No.
I worked in Expo down here in San Diego this weekend before last, and it was being held for both, it was a mix of Hispanic and English speaking,
mm-hmm.
and they had a lady who came in that does Akashic Records. Her name is
mm-hmm.
Dana Fox. And I was putting the signs out, and I thought it was really kind of funny because when we set the room up and we were putting the labels on the tables, and it said Dana Fox and Pooter the Cat. And people are changing their names these days, and who knows? I was thinking I'll be interested to meet this person that has named themselves Pooter the Cat.
And,
the next day I met the cat, and initially I didn't have any kind of an energy resonance initially, but I found it really interesting in hindsight, and I was looking at it that I really didn't have, normally with a cat or a dog, it's just like, oh, hi, you just want to go over and pet it and maybe cuddle it or, some affinity. And this cat, it wasn't that I was adverse to it. I just really, I didn't feel the need to pet this cat. And I came back later in the day, and I was sitting in front of this cat, and I started to feel this energy coming from this cat. And I got in a conversation with one of the ladies, not Dana, but one of the ladies that was at the booth. Turns out that this cat, it's like P for pussy, I guess, and then Buddha, so Pooter the cat. And this cat is an ascended master that it comes from the same lineage, and whenever one of the when the initial Pooter the cat, like the Dalai Lama, when the Dalai Lama passes and they go look for the next Dalai Lama that's being reborn, well, this particular lineage always has a cat that's born on the same day. So you have one that passes, and then the next Buddha is reincarnated, and initially, you know, you kind of go with a grain of salt because you're sitting there and you're like, okay.
Meow.
Well, I listened to it, and I was, later in the day, I was sitting in front of this cat, and I just felt this energy coming from this cat that was just amazing. It was the energy when I'm giving hugs to people, when I'm totally open and the energy is flowing, the energy that was coming out of this cat that was coming at me, which I have never had the opportunity to receive that amount of energy, it was coming from the cat to me.
Wow.
And I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden I had this flash of being in Egypt, sitting in front of the cat going, I'm sitting at the feet of the master. I just want to sit at the feet of the master. And okay, this just sounds so bizarre, even in my mind.
I'm glad you said that. Okay, good.
Guess what? They're one in the same, Gloria.
They're one in the same.
Yeah, I know.
Buddha? No, I mean Buddha and Pudi's place. They are the same.
It's the same.
Buddha,
it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is Pudi's place? It's, well, Pudi's place is the email for Pudi the cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, her and the lady who hangs out with Pudi, her name is Lori Rion.
What kind of cat is it?
Lori is the one who was telling me the story about the reincarnation process on the cat.
Laura, yeah, and isn't that interesting that here we're talking about weights and all of a sudden you start talking about Pudi and it's the same thing. It's the same association kind of a thing. Pudi.
Lori
Rion is the communicator with the dolphins and the whales. Yeah, yeah, and she's the one who hangs out with Pudi.
next time you talk to her, you can mention my name, the person who is just sitting with the cat,
Okay.
I mean, I'm literally just wanting to go,
I just wonder if Pudi goes on these boat trips. That would be interesting. I was surprised
the cat does not go because we were sitting in that room and I was looking at the energy of this cat. This cat was not, it was like, it was a person in a cat's body walking among people, and it really didn't care that the people were there. It wasn't bothered that it was there. The cat curled up like cats do to go to sleep, but this cat was not going to sleep. This cat was going into meditation and out of its body.
Wow.
It was such an amazing experience.
Yeah. Who's going to be at the Learning Light? Mm-hmm.
When is that going to be?
Have you guys been there?
To the Learning Light?
Learning Light, that'll be on, do we have a date for that?
Yeah, September 18th.
Okay. Pardon me? So Saturday, September 18th at Learning Light, which is in off of Lincoln is that Anaheim or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can, the most efficient way is to come at it from the 91.
Yeah. Getting off the 57 right there at Lincoln. If you go to Lincoln at 57, it works out really well.
You guys can
there's another way to get it, too. I know. There's lots of ways to get there.
In case anybody's listening, if you go off the 57 and you take Lincoln to go west, it's a bit of a drive, so don't think you're lost.
Yeah, right. That's a good way to put it. And also, see, they're going to be there from 10 to 1 on September 18th, and then Crystal Nolden's Elohim Channeling will be from 1 to 3.
Ooh.
On the same day. Yeah.
Wow, there you go. Wow, that's just like the fun-filled day. There you go.
Yeah. Actually,
there's also a contact number for anybody who wants to go ahead and make a reservation for the tour on the boat. Sorry, excuse me. It's going to be 619-271-4961. Again, that's 619-271-9461. But, again, if you go to Pudi's Place at yahoo.com, they actually have a place that you can go, and they have a place that you can just order online and go ahead and be able to order your tickets. It's stupid we don't have her on there, man. We need to have her come on. I'll talk to her about maybe coming on the show and talking about her trip, maybe one of the trips.
Okay.
Because the radio show that Kathy had shared with me was just phenomenal. it was just like, oh, my gosh, just a really cool experience, the way that Lori was describing the trip and the whales and how they were right there by the catamaran and all that. So
that would be nice.
Very, very cool. It's one of those things you just want to have, especially, I mean, it's less than $100. I mean, what an experience to be able to have the whales and stuff right there for you. And you're right there off the, you know, Pacific, right there off the Pacific and, you know, California coast. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And what a gift to give yourself, you know, to do something like that. Like, wow,
well, you got
to
awesome. Do it sometimes.
Exactly, exactly. So there you go. And you can be Buddha.
Buddha.
Hi, Al. Buddha. Buddha. You talk to Buddha. There you go.
Buddha.
So, Buddha. I wonder if you bring him catnip, if that you get extra points for that. What do you think? Maybe. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, really, huh? What do you think of that one, Gloria? Should I bring him some catnip?
Yeah, well, you know, if it gets wet, what's that going to do?
Did Buddha speak at all?
Mentally,
Buddha
speak? Not mentally, but psychically.
Wow.
Oh?
You hear what?
Yeah. You're more like, so, yeah.
I mean,
We'll bring him Dove candy.
Yeah, Dove candy. My daughter Kate, she's studying theater over at the local college here in Riverside, and they're going to be doing their next production is called The Spelling Bee, and it's a musical, and there's only like 15 people in the whole production. It's very, very small. And their instructor, I thought it was really cool. She gave them all a piece of Dove chocolate, opened it up, and each one of them had its own little message. And she said, whatever the message is inside your chocolate, that's something that I want you to be just, in, you know, it, that's your theme for the whole time you're working with us. And hers was about, you know, loving and just respecting people. It's just sending out love and respect to others.
So this is fortune candy?
This is fortune candy, yeah. I was telling Kathy we're going to have to get some just to do some research, you know, to make sure that, you know, some of these messages are all, like, you know, really working for everybody, and which means, you know, you have to open up some chocolate. So, hey, yeah. It's a sacrifice, but we're all willing to really just kind of do that. In the name of science, we're going to be checking that out. So that's all good.
Jamie, we'll let you open it for us and take the fortune, but we'll take
yeah.
the doctor.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I was thinking of Johnny Carson. You know how he would do where he'd like put it up to his forehead. You like try to figure out what it says before you open it. Here we go.
Yeah.
What was that? Karnak.
Karnak. Yes, Johnny Carson.
We could be like Karnak and try to figure out what the chocolate says before we open it. That would be fun.
Oh,
a Karnak party.
Have a Carnak
party.
It's a long time.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I loved Johnny Carson when I was growing up. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, it seems to me I was only on the, like, Friday nights I could stay up late because, you know, that is, you know, you're supposed to go to bed. But, oh, my gosh, I always enjoyed him. Just a wonderful performer.
I always watched that when I was little.
Yeah. And just such a great interviewer, and he always had interesting people on. It was just one of those things that, you know, just a lighthearted way of just visiting with people. Very fun. Very fun. I think that's why Ellen DeGeneres does so well with that. She just keeps her show really fun, and that's just it's good.
And
that's
basically clean.
Yes, basically clean. A little, you know, she plays in it, but not too bad. It's not like it's really anything that, you know, we're going to get censored for. You know, it's just really fun. I love how she always dances with her audience. I think that's fun to get up there and dance. It's fun.
Yeah,
and I've noticed that she doesn't put people down a lot, which is really nice, too.
Yeah, they had I was watching it yesterday, and there was a little boy that was 7 years old, and he lives out in the sticks someplace, and he had taken his mom's car, and he was driving it around this little city. Yeah, and he's like 7 years old. And
oh,
so
my God.
You see, you know how the cops always have their little camera in the car so they can record what's going on and stuff.
Oh, no.
So you see the kid pull up to his house, and he stops right before the driveway starts. And he stops the car, and he jumps out of the car, and he goes running into the garage. He knew he was in trouble.
They had a kid up here who the parent told him to go to the end of the driveway and take the trash out, and he ended up driving 100 miles away.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I'm just some kid, but yeah, who knows?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So,
made the news.
So Ellen had
he taking the trash out?
Yeah, he took the trash out and then he drove. He kept driving. Must have been
but
in
you
the
don't
rural
have to take
area.
It to another state. Yeah, you know, he took it to a rural area, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took it to one of the dumps way out there. But with this little boy that they had, that 7-year-old, they had the dad and him come out, and they gave dad one of those sticks, you know, one of the things you put on your steering wheel. What
club.
They call those things, I'm trying to remember. The club, yeah. They gave him a club for steering wheel for the car. So he couldn't take the car anymore. And they wound up giving him one of those little Fisher-Price battery cars. But
oh
he got
God.
A car anyway. I know.
Wow.
And Nell's just like looking at the producers just going, oh, I don't think he should get a car because he just, yeah, that's not good. He shouldn't have done that. The bear, they're giving him a car anyway. They're
yeah,
like,
but,
oh,
you
I don't
know
about that.
He was probably very joyful until the cops came.
Oh, he was. And you know what? He loved walking out on stage. He was waving at the audience and stuff, and he was just having such a good old time being the celebrity. You know,
that's
it's kind of like we were.
That's
I was,
what I'm getting.
Yeah, I was watching a thing on these History Detectives. It's on PBS. It's a very interesting show. Well, they'll bring different artifacts of different things they find, and they'll actually tell you the history of why it was created or the significance of it at that time period when they were putting it together. And one of them was this this artifact where they were showing about the history of how radio, when radio first started, and how they had the different stuff and how they were connected to the FBI. And they actually were taking cases and, you know, protecting the names of the innocent and all that kinds of stuff. And Calvin Coolidge and all that was involved with it just for publicity for the FBI and stuff when it first got started. So it's really interesting why and what they do for stuff for certain levels of publicity. They were looking to recruit a bunch of new FBI agents, so they were doing it for recruiting. So it was like, okay,
wow.
Yeah. So it's real interesting, some of the stuff that happens in history, you know. It's like some of these things that you're watching and learning the back things of, you know, why we do what we do kind of thing. And then they have that one,
can I just hear you say that? Explaining why we do what we do, please.
No, not really. I can't even talk for myself, so there you go. I don't know. But they have those Pawn Stars. It's on, I don't remember what channel that is, but it's called Pawn Stars. And this is a family that runs a pawn store. Yeah, that's like a real popular show. And they have it there. They've got a pawn shop in Las Vegas. And this guy came in with this, it looked like a little mini suitcase, and it actually was this, it had all this gambling stuff in it. It had a little roulette table, and it had dice, and it had cards, and it had chips, and it was all authentic. All authentic.
Weapons.
Yeah, you pull the top out, exactly. The whole top was all the gambling stuff, and underneath is where they had all the weapons.
Ooh.
And like a machete, and like a knife and a poke stick, and it had a gun and all this different kinds of stuff with ammo and everything. So, well, they were saying back in the Wild West, man, they'd bring in their own little casino, and then they'd make deals with a saloon dealer. Basically, they'd agree to a certain percentage of the, you know, whatever they took. They'd let them stay there. And they sometimes weren't allowed in town or whatever, or they were trying to do it on the sly, so they definitely were having to watch their back the whole time they were doing it to be making some side money. Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But they were saying this because it had the gun and all these different authentic things on it. The whole set together was probably worth at least $10,000, if not more than that, just because of the fact it was all together and the quality. I thought it was worth a lot more than that. I mean, you know, what's the odds of finding something like that was at the turn of the century like that? With such a, between the history and then having all these authentic weapons and stuff, I would think it would have been worth a lot more money. I was yelling at the TV because they go, don't sell it! Don't sell it! It's worth more than that!
So what was this that they found?
It was the guy had it in his closet. This guy walks into this pawn shop wanting to know what it's worth, and he had no idea.
Oh,
and it was authentic. It was a whole case of, it was a gambling kit. Like, you know, like Doc Holliday would have took into a saloon and used it for all of his stuff for, you know, for gambling.
Got it.
Yeah. It was just a suitcase that had everything in it. It was like a mobile casino, even with the weapons. So it was very interesting. Yeah.
But it was a weapon?
Well, it had weapons in the bottom. There was two levels to it. The top level had all the chips and the cards and dice and everything. It even had like a little roulette table that you could spin. And then underneath it, you'd lift that up, and then there was a Winchester in there, and there was a knife, a really long, like, machete knife in there, and had, like, a walking stick that was a weapon, and bullets and all kinds of stuff.
Just the weapons alone would be worth a mint.
Yeah, and the gun, he was looking at the gun, and the gun was, you could tell it was original. It had a lot of detail on it, and the way it had been put together and stuff like that, it was all in really good condition. So it was worth a lot of money. It was worth a lot of money. And that's when
Do you recall what year it was? What vintage?
It was in the 1800s.
Nice.
And the thing that really made it valuable was that a lot of the, it's like the handle on the gun and they had little containers for like shaking the dice and stuff like that. It was all monogrammed with this guy's name that actually he wound up writing a book about gambling in the early, you know, days of the gold rush. So it was connected to gambling, and it was this guy's name. So it definitely had that much more of, you know, history to it. So it made it that much more valuable because it was like his suitcase that he went around and did the gambling and stuff with. So he was known for that. So it's pretty interesting stuff. There you go. You know, the curator, you know, was looking at, I was watching it with Kate and stuff, and I said, they must tell these people to lowball it when they come walking in with a curator when he sees a sense of value of something. And they're coming into a pawn shop, you know, and he's telling this guy in front of the guy that's going to be trying to buy it from him what it's worth. Because their whole thing is like, you know, how do I lowball this and make money off of it?
Well, they got to make money somehow, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the stuff is like, something like that would be so priceless depending on who wants to buy it. I mean, I could see it going for $100,000 depending on who wants it and what, considering it had all the weapons and everything too, you know, it would be worth a lot. I think the guy wanted it. No, he didn't sell it. That's true. He offered him $8,500 for it. And the guy looked at it and he says, I think I'm going to keep this for a while. And the guy was sick. He's like, no! He wanted it really bad because he knew he could make a lot of money off of it. The guy walked away. So, there you go.
That's a pretty good show.
Very, very interesting. Yeah, it's a very good show. Like I said, I really like the history and the different things you can learn about. Just, you know, some of the things we've done in the past is pretty amazing. Some of the things, the inventions, and just why, you know, things are put together, and how things keep their value. You know, what keeps value and what doesn't keep value, depending on, you know, supply and demand and stuff like that. They're always coming in with these. Oh, another one they had was interesting. It was right after the war, the Civil War, they came out with new bonds, and the bonds were very interesting. They were different pictures, and they were mainly of women, but they were representing different aspects. Like one represented electricity, and one represented, you know, farm life and things like that. And they all were in this picture showing the unity of different things, and they all kind of reflected that electricity was coming in and being a new dynamic energy for moving the country forward. So it was really interesting.
Yeah.
The symbology and stuff that they use with that stuff. Yeah, it's very, very interesting. The guy who had the Confederate bills was just like, oh, I just thought I was a bunch of naked ladies. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the curator's like, oh, no, this is that. You're like, okay, well. until you know, you don't know. It's kind of like the universe. Oh, I just thought it was an atom. Who knew? Okay. I just thought it was a naked lady. Okay, it's okay. There you go. It's all good.
No, we're not taking the show in that direction.
Huh?
I said we're not taking the show in that direction.
We're not taking the show in that direction. No, we're not taking the show in that direction.
You know what's funny about that? I like that show a lot. And but I couldn't get the name straight for the life of me for the first month or so. And I'd be passing by my son watching it on TV, and I'd go, so, Jimmy, you're watching porn stars again.
Porn stars.
For the life of me, I could not. Every time I opened my mouth, porn stars came out.
He, like, roll his eyes and go, okay, well, there she goes again.
Right, yeah. It's porn stars, Mom. It's porn, not porn.
Porn stars, yes, porn stars, porn stars. Well, another show that Kathy's really been into, I don't know if she wants to talk about it or not, but Gene Simmons, she's been really, ever since she's gone to Atlanta and back, she started watching his reality show. And The Family Jewel. Yeah.
It's been on for 4 years, and I have not seen any of those episodes. So, and I have TiVo, and they were playing a lot of them. Like, there'd be 10 episodes recorded on my TiVo at a time, and I was just watching them. And I glean many lessons from that show. I totally love it. And the main thing that I gleaned is that at the beginning of every show, he says, "It's good to be me." And so that's now my mantra. It's good to be me.
Yeah, we'll be driving down the freeway to go have dinner or whatever. She looks over at me and she goes, "It's good to be me."
So
I go, okay.
So we have had dessert. What about a main course?
Oh, okay. Well since we have sandwiches, we could do a sandwich. How about that?
Yeah. How about that?
So we have no cookie this time, huh?
No, no fortune cookies.
No.
I don't think so.
We'll have to have it as icing. We'll have to have it as the topping, like on the fudge sundae. So the topping of the day is?
Oh, yeah, for the inspirational topping?
Yes.
Inspirational
it could be the
topping.
Cherry on top. The cherry on top.
Yeah.
The cherry on top for the day. There we go. The cherry on top. My cat had to come in, so there you go. There she goes. She's at the diner. Okay.
Hey, Robin, did you get my emails today about my little helper?
Yes, I did. Kathy had, yesterday she had made a commitment to herself to deep clean her closet. And so it was so cute. I got like 3 or 4 pictures this morning of her cat doing different things, assisting her. So like one was her cat like in a box looking like, okay, like I'm getting really organized here. And what were the other two? I'm trying to think. Go ahead. What were the other two, Kath?
She was inside the big bag of clothes that I was preparing for donation.
To get away. Yeah, it's like she thought she was going out, but she's trying to hide in there so she could get her little secret trip going on there. Some of these cats to do anything, like, you know, she thinks she's just going to be camouflaging herself so she can go on her little tour. There you go.
Yeah, and the other thing was I had the sheets off the bed because I was washing them, but the blankets were dangling down, you know, and they were on the floor. And it's no big deal when you walk around in your bedroom and you step on a blanket. It's no big deal, right, as you're walking out the door? Okay, well, my blanket kept meowing. You know, you step on the blanket and it'd go, meow.
Oh.
You couldn't see her.
No, your cat is so sweet.
Oh, she's funny. She was funny yesterday.
Her
you know,
cat,
so I told my son, you know, guess where Kitty is, you know, and so he looked around, and the first place he touched was that spot, because you couldn't see her, and he goes, oh, there she is, oh, we'll just kick her.
Poor Kitty. Okay, so are we ready for the cherry?
Yeah.
The cherry, okay. Beauty is truth. Truth, beauty. That is all you need to know on the earth. You know what? I just didn't say that right.
One more time.
Let me try that again. Okay. And I didn't even drink anything. There was just like no alcohol involved in this. I think I just overdid. I OD'd on sugar. Okay. Beauty is truth. Truth, beauty. That is all you know on earth and all you need to know.
It's that simple.
Mr. John Keats. Yeah, that's a Keats.
It's
that's a
that
Keats
simple.
Quote. Truth, beauty is truth. Truth is beauty. There you go.
Hey,
you know, and there's beauty every day you walk out the door and look at the sky, see a tree, see a smiling child's face, you know, see a cat smiling at you trying to hide in your dirty clothes. There you go. That's beauty. There you go.
And even seeing a wasp land on your shoulder, busy doing his thing and not concerned about you, just sitting there going, okay.
I like that.
Exactly. And, you know, and that is such an interesting thing about, say, like wasps and bees and things like that. I've got a tree in my backyard that I've slowly been trimming it down since it's getting cold now. It's time to start doing all the pruning and stuff before winter. And unbeknownst to me the other day, I was you know, taking some of these limbs off the tree and stuff like that. And there were a few wasps around my head. And my husband was just, like, freaking out, going, you got a bird? And I'm like, what? And I wasn't even aware of it because they weren't bothering me, you know. And they were kind of doing their thing. I was doing mine. They were just probably making sure that I wasn't going to do anything with their hive. And I didn't even have a place of worry and all that. But a couple of years ago, he was doing it. And as soon as he even realized that, he started freaking out. And, of course, they attacked him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's that whole thing of being, they're very sensitive to emotions, and if you show fear, they're totally going to, you know, be that much more hyper because they're sensing your fear. They automatically think they're probably going to get hurt.
Right, because the vibration basically assaults. You think about how small their body is and how sensitive they are to a vibration. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got this huge vibration coming from you, it's like an assault on them.
I was literally less than like a couple feet away from their hive, and they weren't bothering me. And they were hovering around to see what I was going to do, but I wasn't a threat. And I didn't consider them a threat, so it wasn't a problem with that. It was just really interesting.
Yeah, I was walking along, and I was taking a walk around the neighborhood, and there were these bees that were kind of hovering on the ground area on the sidewalk. So I was skirting around them, and I missed one, and then this one kind of came up at me from in front of me, and he stopped about halfway up my leg, and I said, what? You know, I didn't step on him. I moved, and all of a sudden I felt this wash of cold energy come from him to me, and he flew away.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
The other day I was walking in from, I just got up to my flower shop, and I got out of the car and all that. And all of a sudden, I had this grasshopper come over and jump right next to me on the, you know, he would jump right next to me on the parking lot. And I looked down at him, and I go, yeah, is something you need to tell me? And he just sat there for the longest time. It was so funny. And I, like, looked at him, and I said, well, thanks. Look at you. Aren't you great? Kind of thing. And then I went in and got myself situated in the store, and I had to come back out to my car because I had a couple things I had to go get, and he was still there. And I was just looking at him like,
you can leave,
it's okay. The grasshopper jingle, here we go. Okay.
They are so wise and intelligent.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I see you. I see you. I see you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you.
There you go. Yeah, that's what he was singing to me, man.
All right.
So I have to remember to tell you later my personal grasshopper story.
Okay. I know, because we're down to our last minute. We don't have time on the show to this week, but I'm telling you what. I know, we'll have to do that with while we're waiting for our to-go bags. There you go. That's all good. So, can you believe it, guys? It's already been an hour. My goodness. That's what happens when you're having dessert and having fun. Okay. So there you go. We're doing really, really good with all that stuff. So. You know, now that we know the secrets of the universe and, you know, that it's all a grand design, you know, life is good and the truth is beauty. There you go. Life is good. So there you go. So thank you guys for coming. Make sure we get our doggy bags kind of going. And, again, thanks for joining us at the cafe.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.